Any public comment?
Have public comment, please raise your hand. There's someone else on the line as well.
Yeah, if that public person wants to talk, raise your hand. And frankly, you could raise it at any point if you don't raise it now or don't know how to do that. We're all learning. Then I'd go on to a motion to approve the minutes for the July 14th meeting. I'll move it for a second.
Second.
All those in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Mr. CEO Conrado, how are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you so much. There is no report from me.
Okay, great. Let's see. Chris, you got the Las Palmas Medical Plaza update in there. Anything you care to say other than information?
We got on the CAO report, just an update regarding year-end audit work that we're getting close to having the audit, annual audits wrapped up. The intention is that our October F&A committee meeting that Gary Dack from London Guthrie will be present to present the audit reports to us.
Great.
Also at the Medical Plaza, we are just putting out the notice to invite bids for the landscape project that's going on there. Actually, the first advertisement went in the Desert Sun this past Sunday. On the 15th, we have a mandatory pre-bid walk of the location. And the we should have bids hopefully in by early October and present to F&A committee at the October meeting. There's very limited movement as far as new tenants going on at the Medical Plaza. We have a couple of items that will be on the agenda presented here shortly regarding some leasing options there. So that's all I have for the CAO report.
Great.
Is the occupancy down to 92, or is that a pretty much a constant? And I just don't have last month's numbers in my head.
It's down a little bit because we do have, and you'll see one of the agenda items, we do have one of the tenants that had issue with being able to survive the COVID process and has exited the Medical Plaza. So we have one additional suite of about 1,200 square feet that is added to the vacancy list now. So we have three vacant suites at this point.
Thank you.
Good question. All right, Arthur, I'm going to, unless others have questions, I'm going to walk through the financial reports just one at a time and see if you have any questions about, either of us have questions about them. I'll start with number one, the district and the LPMP financial statements on 7 to 17. Any questions, Arthur?
No, I have no questions. I asked Chris my one question.
Okay, good.
Okay, too. Sorry for being late.
Oh, welcome, Letty. Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. We are on financial reports. Mm-hmm. The financial page 18. I find my name there. I guess I owe you money for
it. I lost the sound.
You can't hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me at all?
I can.
Yes.
Have you lost
me? You can hear me, but I cannot hear you guys.
Okay, we can hear you. I can hear you, Arthur, loud and clear. Loud and clear, Arthur.
All right, I'm going to dial back in on the phone unless the sound comes back.
Okay. Well, that's okay. While he's doing that, Letty, we approved the minutes, and we were starting with the financial report. Enter your meeting ID. We're starting with the financial reports. Would you like to vote on the approval of the minutes?
Yes, I would like to to state my approval, my A, to note my A for approval.
Great, great, no problem. Thank you very much. The second item we looked at was the district financial statements. There were no questions there. Do you have any?
No, I'm fine with
okay.
them. Thank you.
The accounts receivable question, I have a question. I owe some money. I didn't know about it. And I'll get a check in the mail. Why don't you get me till the end of the year, Chris? Or whenever the...
That's fine if you just want to settle up at the end of the year.
Yeah. And then I'll take care of that. I don't like to see the chairman of the finance committee on the unpaid debts list.
No, I'm sure we were going to get you a statement sent to you. But
Well, it's been crazy. And by the way, just email me a statement and I'll take care of it. District deposits on... page 19 and 20, any questions about that? Hearing none, let's go to property tax receipts. Any comments you have about that, Chris?
No, no, just a little delay in timing.
Yeah.
On it, but I don't think we have any issue to be concerned with.
Yeah. Do you think I suspect the county, like everybody else, everybody's working at home, they might get there. We got to get them, or is it the tenants?
No, it's county related.
So. Yeah, well, every government agency.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
A little handcuff.
Right.
We got you there.
There may be a little delay
in
actually receiving the monies, but the monies are good. Think will be changing as far as the amounts. So.
Okay. The Las Palmas Medical Plaza deposits, any questions on 22 to 24? The district check registered 25 to 26. Credit card detail 27 and 28. Las Palmas Medical Plaza check register 29. Retirement Protection Plan 30. And the grant payment schedule.
Per Director Shore's request last FNA committee meeting, we added a second column there on the RPP.
Got it.
Showing the reduction from June to August.
Great.
So we're down about six participants.
Good. Thank you very much for that change. All right. So then I would entertain a motion to approve all the financial statements. Letisa?
So moved.
Matthews will second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Arthur, raise your hand or vote later. Other matters, the service addendum with Magdalena Martinez. 833 a month. Does anybody have any questions about that? Personnel consulting. Letitia, any? None. I saw that. No. I'd move approval of that. Is there a second? You can just show two fingers. I don't know that would be your second, Letitia. Suddenly, I
Arthur is showing two. Fingers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Arthur showed too. That's good. Thanks for all the help. Motion's made. Motion second. All those in favor signify by saying aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Las Palmas Medical Plaza lease agreement with LabCorp. 5 years. Chris, you want to add anything or should I just make
it? Yeah. This agreement was approved by the committee approximately a year ago. LabCorp has been a little delayed in executing. So they had a couple of minor changes that they requested. And then we're essentially just bringing it back with updated dates since it's stale. And just so that the board can see that we've updated it. Date-wise, and then a couple of minor requests that the LabCorp has requested. They have not taken this through completely through their legal process yet, but we wanted to get it before our board members so that hopefully we can get it approved this time. They're not going anywhere. They're in the midst of putting together a tenant improvement plan that they want to do there at the suite. So just, they're a large corporation trying to get through the bureaucracy of it. So hopefully okay. We'll get it resolved within this next month or so and be in, into the lease for the long term. So
great. Well, they've been a long-term tenant as well.
Right.
Is there any questions from directors? Hearing none, I'll move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Leticia. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Lease termination agreement for Dennis Spurgeon. Any questions about that? Dennis's business, I know Dennis has been a long-term tenant. His business kind of collapsed with what he did. And,
yeah, he's a chiropractor and, had his business closed, due to the virus. And,
yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Right, a lot of his patients are elderly and doesn't make sense for them to come back in public yet. So he's suffered financially from it and requested to be allowed out of his lease.
Okay.
Surprising.
I'd move approval of that. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Got a little echo there, Arthur, but the second sounded
okay,
great.
Okay,
Don't worry about it.
I thought I got rid of the echo.
Don't worry about it.
You have to turn off one of the microphones, Arthur.
Yeah.
I thought I did, but let me.
Or mute it.
If you mute your phone, you'll still be able to hear it. But
I think we got you.
Yeah.
Okay. The item 4, the temporary lease agreement with Arrowhead Evaluation Services.
Okay, so this is the same suite that Dennis Spurgeon is moving out of.
Yep.
Arrowhead does evaluation assessments for orthopedic procedures, and they have requested that they utilize the space, very limited, only a few days a month for September and October, and they are willing to pay $1,000 a month for those 2 months. So this is a temporary lease agreement for that purpose.
Great. Nice job of getting somebody in there. Any questions by the board? The directors? I would move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Wave your hand or something, Leticia.
Oh, I said aye. I'm sorry.
There we go. And Arthur, I think you're an aye, but if not, you'll let us know.
He's fine.
The voter education project on page 67-80. You want to just give us a couple of bullet points on that, somebody?
Conrad, are you going to take that one? Or
sure. So at the last board meeting, we were talking about voters' engagement. In light of all our board members running unopposed, with the exception that there is one competitive zone, which is due to the departure of our director, Matthews, one of our board members suggested that we, as a way to increase awareness about the work of the district and who we are and how we engage voters in knowing more about the district, that we hire a firm that could do a limited engagement to do voter education in zone 3. So we received a proposal with an amount up to $30,000. This proposal will provide the educational project that was proposed at the board meeting. And we have sent this proposal to our legal counsel, and we have a proposed contract that is attached to this, along with the proposal that was submitted to the district.
Good. Any questions?
Is there a requirement to do an RFP?
No, there isn't, because it's a professional service. It's not a grant.
And this, I know I've heard of Strategies 360 and some other kind of work. Are they from the Coachella Valley, or where's their main?
No, they're not. They are in the LA area.
And is there a reason why we wouldn't think of local?
I think that one of the challenges with the local is that we have local people running and tied to organizations that may or may not have been engaged with some of our local PR firms to do this type of voter engagement. So to avoid any conflict of interest, I think we're rather served by working with an outside organization for this.
Can you be more specific? In terms of where the conflict is?
So it's a potential conflict of interest. There are organizations here that have representatives that will be running in that zone. And we don't know which agency would be in a position to do this type of project that hasn't been engaged or might be pursuing an engagement with some of those organizations that are involved with the election this time around.
I'm going to actually, I'm not too comfortable with going just with that mindset of looking outward. I guess because of, I always prefer local preference, unless there's a reason why we shouldn't go local preference, and that could be because of cost or because of subject matter expertise. But that could be actually addressed through the RFP process. So I'm going to actually suggest that we do an RFP for this work. That's my opinion.
Arthur is raising his hand.
Before, Mr. Chairman, before we go there, can I assume that anything that this consulting firm would do would be subject to review by us before it was public? And if that's the case, any potential conflict of interest or favoritism to a candidate would become very obvious to her. And therefore, in support of Letty's position, I think it's, you know, it's not necessary to go outside if we have that kind of supervisory oversight, all other things equal. Am I mistaken about that? We're going to have the oversight or not? That's really my question.
So I believe that the answer to that question is, we will always have the last say in this, particularly because of the sensitivities of this project. We will have our team working with whoever is elected to do this work, to create.
Then why go outside?
Because I don't think we have the expertise to deliver the project. I think the content of who we are, what we do, why it is valuable to have a healthcare district in your zone is something that we can say. We don't have the expertise to deliver this type of project.
And that's, if I may, and I think that's another weakness that we have in the Coachella Valley is that some, we we need to invest in actually developing these kinds of awareness in-house so that we have these continuing, sustained relationships.
One, two, three.
So I think that that's why, unless it can be proven that we do not have the expertise and the talent locally, then that's when I think that it's justifiable to go outward. I think that that can be determined by having an RFP where you can evaluate the talent in not only Coachella Valley, but Riverside County, where our tax dollars are supposed to be the most effective. And then if it's not here, then we look outside of the Coachella Valley or Riverside County.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
I'm having a more fundamental question. At first, I understood Conrado to say that the reason that we are going outside was because local people would have a conflict of interest and therefore we needed a more an objective agency. Now I'm hearing that we have no capacity. I need that reconciled so I can better react to the issue. I support Letty's concept about using local people, unless of course there is no such capability. Then we can argue whether or not we should invest in developing them or not. But Conrado, you gave two different answers to the same question. So pick one so I can understand what you're really thinking.
My answer is only one. We do have the capacity. We have the challenge of a potential conflict of interest in the Valley.
And who would that, but if we have final oversight, isn't that enough of a comfort level for you to know that no candidate would be biased?
It's not about our influence on the project. It's about outside influence on the project. That's where the conflict of interest is coming from.
Help me understand that, please.
We have people involved in this election that are affiliated or represent agencies in Coachella Valley that work with the same agencies that would be providing this type of service. So the influence would not come with us or from us in terms of the conflict or the potential or the perceived conflict of interest. The perceived or potential conflict of interest would come from the unduly influence from outside people or entities on the process.
Okay, then I'm going to ask my question one more time. If we look at the copy before it's distributed, couldn't we determine whether that outside agency was biased or not and prevent any distribution of information that was biased?
I think we can do that.
Then therefore they don't have the potential for conflict of interest is not a valid reason not to go outside, is what I'm thinking. That's the conclusion I have reached, and therefore I support Letty's recommendation to try to keep it local if at all possible. That's my thinking.
The concern I have is we're less than 2 months from the election, and this ultimately would have to go to the board and for approval, and now we're then 6 weeks and I'm not seeing the value in it, so I won't be supporting this. So does anyone want to make a motion?
That's a very good point about the timing. Yeah, I hadn't, I was thinking more long range in terms of bringing educational awareness. Yeah, by the time we bring somebody on board and we're getting into that point where we really become political, if we are kind of added to that, I think the circus that's coming next 2 months of national politics. But go ahead, Arthur. I'm still thinking in my mind about this. Go ahead.
You're on mute, Arthur.
Can we achieve everything we want to achieve after the election? If the goal and agenda is to educate that district, we can do that, or in the broader sense of everybody east in our East New District, and do it after the election because of the issues of timing and potential conflict of interest, et cetera, et cetera. We can achieve it after the election.
Also, could we do this in-house to send out some kind of awareness to the registered voters, and then after the election, no? I see. Okay. Then we would be perceived as getting political. Is that what you're concerned about?
Okay. I am concerned about that.
Okay.
Well, and not only that, it's also an issue of internal capacity. It's not about the capacity we have in Coachella Valley, and maybe that's what Arthur misunderstood when I mentioned capacity. It's about our internal capacity of where do we look for registered voters' records, their address. How do we do something that we don't have the expertise to do here internally as district members? And then it might create such a conundrum for us internally that it doesn't make sense. And I understand the issue of thinking long-term. The reality is staff is trying to be responsive to something that was elevated at the last board meeting. Mm-hmm. We had only 2 weeks to come up with a solution, and we have 2 weeks to deliver this to the board. If we delay it and we have a request for proposals process, which yes, we can do, it won't be until October. And then we will have only 10 days until the election. So it's a very limited engagement for this project.
What I was just going to say is that we do have a very limited amount of time, and I think that there was acknowledgement of board member, Vice President Borja's reasoning for doing this, and that we do have an election that, you know, a lot of residents that, actually most of the residents that are going to be participating in the Zone 3 have always participated in healthcare elections. It's just a different setup that they now get to vote for one member instead of having their vote split by five. So that is a significant change. Just what I wanted just to share is that the local preference thing is something that I'm thinking about, that I'm always thinking about as you know, just strengthening that kind of capacity. But also the criticism that we tend to get from our own partners, in that we look outward instead of looking to support, like, for example, a HARC or I know we don't have a lot of as much talent as the LA area. And this proposal looks really good. I guess that would be the reasoning to not do an RFP would be because of the timing. That issue that you just brought up most recently is actually the issue that should be brought up at the very beginning as to why you decided to proceed this way, is of the urgency, the limited amount of time that we have, if we're going to be able to make some kind of educational difference instead of becoming political and the message getting lost, I think it needs to be that we do this sooner rather than the last month of the election, when people are just pretty much throwing away a lot of mail that's coming in because there's so much stuff coming in.
Yes, and then to make this election cycle even more complicated, there is going to be a lot of mail-in voting this time around. That has been increasing over the last few election cycles, and this year it's receiving a significant push. Number one, because of the heightened polarization of our election, and also because of the COVID-19 pandemic and people not wanting to go outside and participating in the regular polling place.
Okay, I would be supportive of this only if you explain your reasoning to include that it has to do with timing and that we want this information to be out there to the voters sooner rather than getting lost and also because absentee voters really wanna, as soon as they get their absentee ballots, they're probably gonna want to send it out very quickly so that the pigeon that's flying it across will get it to the polling place to get counted correctly.
And with that in mind, I mean, does that, if people are going to be turning in their ballots quicker and earlier, or even when we get this project going, is this really kind of behind that process already? I mean, will people already be doing their ballots and, you know, they'll get these mailers kind of after the fact?
It is problematic the way this is being put together so quickly. I know you're responding to one board members and her and the support of the rest of the board to do this. And we put you at a very difficult position to come back very quickly with this, and how effective would it be? I'll be supportive of having this go forward for consideration because you're pretty much doing what the board asked you to do. So I'll support it, but between now and then, I think I will think about this, how effective it would be in terms of timing. I'll move approval to move it forward for board consideration.
Is there a second? Hearing none, I would move we deny it.
I'll second that.
How do we do this roll call vote? Andrea, give us a roll call vote.
Sure, but I don't think that, okay, President DeLauro?
I'll stand by moving it forward for board consideration since that's what the board had asked for. I'll vote no on the motion.
So you're voting no on the motion to approve the consulting agreement?
No, motion was to deny it. The motion was made was to deny it.
Well, that's what I meant to say. Thank you. Yeah. So President DeMar is a no. Mm-hmm. Chair Matthews?
Yeah, I'm voting to deny it. So yes.
So Director Matthews votes yes to deny it. And then Director Shore?
Yes.
Deny the agreement. Thank you.
In addition to that, I just think it's so close to the election for us to even try and the districts are going to be redrawn this next year, and you might as well go set fire to $30,000. Okay, enough of that. Let's go to the RPP. Any questions on that? It's informational.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
To have clarity. So we are not bringing this to the board meeting?
I think that's sort of between you and the chairman. I mean, you can take our vote because we're not a majority of the board and bring it there. That's your call and the president of the boards, I think, at this point. I mean, we don't have enough authority to vote it down. So you got to bring it forward with what happened at committee, I think.
I think what happened was that you would move it forward as the recommendation from this committee is to deny it.
Yeah. And by the way, you might as well call Jeff Scott to get a real answer.
Yeah, I like my answer, but okay. But I think it would just be good to confirm, but believe that whether it's affirmative or negative, you're moving forward what the committee's decision was.
Yeah. I think that's exactly correct. Okay. Anything further on the district meeting? Okay, we'll adjourn that and then move to the foundation meeting. Let's call the meeting to order.
Excuse me, did you guys cover the RPP, or was there no other additional information that need to be go over for that line item?
Information. I'm sorry, did anybody have any thing they wanted to weigh in on the actuarial evaluation report?
I think it's just important to know.
Bring to our attention?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Chris asked something.
I think it's important to note on the bottom of the staff report, the thing that's, if you can just move that up a little, there, thank you. The thing that's important to note here is the actuarial valuation is a present value calculation based on if every participant received a monthly annuity payment for life. And so that's what ends up calculating the total pension liability. So what that's saying is that we would owe, the district would owe $9 million to the remaining participants over the remaining, their life. So if they lived to 90, whatever, we'd be paying them out, monthly until they pass in at the age of 95. What our real, and so if you subtract what our balance of 4.7 million is, what will show on our balance sheet is a net pension liability or unfunded of 4.6 million. But the reality that we have is that we pay the participants in full when they leave employment at the hospital. So it really changes that present value number to where we don't have to pay out over the remaining life of each participant. So what I'm showing there at the bottom is that our investment account balance is the 4.7 million. We have participant balances that we have on our books of 4.2 million. And so if all participants left the hospital employment today, we would have $597,000 excess funds to pay them out. So for purposes of generally accepted accounting principles and GASB standards, we have to report that net pension liability. But it's, we're safe, we're covered, we have the sufficient funds to cover paying out the participants. So I just want the board members to understand that. So if there's any questions that you receive, we get, some public members that have concern that it shows that we're underfunded, but the reality is we are not. So any questions regarding that?
Yes. Chris, wouldn't it make sense, or is it possible, let me say it another way, is it possible to develop a footnote that concisely reflects your position so that people in the community who are quote unquote concerned would have to digest the footnote before they could express any concerns to us?
Unfortunately, per the audit reports, we have to comply with the GASB standards, which is
No, I'm not suggesting that we change what you're doing. I'm fully supportive of reporting it as it is. I'm suggesting adding a footnote, an interpretive footnote, so that members of the community might have a better understanding rather than develop an artificial concern.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that the audit report doesn't allow us to add that as a footnote. I'll ask
what about
again.
Here?
I did ask before, but internally, that's what the communication is. And as also a side note with it, I have asked the actuarial firm if they can take a look at the specifics of the GASB pronouncement that requires this, the net pension liability calculation as they do it, to see if they can consider our actual payout process or disbursement process, to see if that can somehow figure into this to make it more of a realistic picture. So they're going to take a look at that for next year. This current year was a roll forward year, so it would have been more costly to get into that level of detail, but they will take a look at that for next fiscal year and see if there's something that they can do in their evaluation process.
Yeah, I wasn't so much concerned about the audit report. I wasn't even alluding to the audit report. I was alluding to this document. But if it's not realistic, I withdraw the concern.
Yeah, and we can't do it within the actual evaluation report because that has to go based on the GASB standards. So
no, I understand that, but just
internally we can do whatever explanation we want, like we did here in the staff report.
Yeah, well, that was my question, limited to the staff report, not to the audit report.
Right.
But I agree with Arthur that it's good to be able to share this information with the public, and maybe not on this report because this is the official format, but in our regular audit report, is this information included in our regular audit report in any way? Could it be footnoted there in reference to this?
No,
that's what I was saying earlier. In the audit report, it has to also reflect, and I'll ask the auditor if they can put something with the footnote. I have asked that before, and they've said that all audit reports that they have to prepare have to include the valuation report part of it and not deviate language-wise from the footnotes. But I will
only on this report, on this audit report, though, right? The GASB report. You're saying that on our regular annual audit report, we cannot deviate from a certain format.
They have not in the past. I will inquire of the current audit firm if they will do that, because we have a new audit firm.
Okay, if you would, because I know I've done that. So that's kind of a little, maybe there's different rules for healthcare districts than other nonprofits, but.
Okay, I'll inquire.
So this, approach my departure from the district one day. Historically, this has been one of the biggest concerns I had. And prior to the expansion of the district, we voted, I think it was 3.7 some million to fully fund the pension liability, because we always thought it was going to grow way back. But for these employees have been there a long, long time. And most of them grab a lump sum when they leave, which is really nice because, you know, we end up with less problems. And personally, and it won't matter sometime in November or December, these are the folks that have been with us through thick and thin. And we want to ensure that they get their pension benefits. And right now, although the investment account balances shows, I think we're pretty safe till the end, don't you, Chris?
Oh yes, I there's no issue in having the resources in that account to pay out the balances due.
So when I'm no longer on the board and you change it, I'm going to come in with the union and raise hell. Right? Anything else?
We're going to have you sign off that you will not use any information.
Can't do it. Can't do it. I'll be a public citizen. I'll be like that crazy guy who comes in. I'll be the next crazy guy. All right. I'm going to adjourn the foundation meeting, or the district meeting, rather. Anybody have anything final to say there? Let's call the order the foundation meeting. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any public comment? Aye. Any public comment? Hearing none, a motion to approve the minutes of the July 14th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, aye.
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 Okay. CEO, care to add anything?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. Financial report, I'll just walk through. Any questions on the financial statements? The deposits, the check register, credit card expenditures, grant schedule. Is there a motion to approve the financial reports?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody have any other matters? Fantastic. Unless you have something, I think we stand adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Sorry for the hassle, folks.
You did fine. You hung in there.
Sorry for being late.
Good. Okay. Bye.